Good morning, and blessed be the name of Jesus. We are having a time to reflect on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the importance of the Holy Spirit coming in us. And the Spirit of God has so much to do with helping us to overcome the guilt concerns. And we want to look at it from second point or part two, overcoming guilt concerns by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our game changer of guilt, we have been talking about guilt. The book of Romans is majorly about guilt. It's helping us to understand because the word we talked about, condemnation, is you are condemned by an authority. And you are condemned because you have fallen short of the standards. But we discover that Jesus came and paid it all. He paid our sins, our debt. And because he paid our debt, we are no longer outside. We have been brought in to the Father. We have been brought back to the family. We are no longer prodigal. We have come back to our senses and we have come back home. But the fact that we have come back home does not mean that the spirit of guilt is gone. And that's what we have been dealing with all this time, particularly when our elder brother keeps on reminding us that we squandered our lives. Squandered, he reminds us of our past. Though the Father have accepted us and we have been welcomed home and a table has been thrown for us, or a table has been prepared for us, a banquet has been prepared for us. But our brother refuses to come in, saying, "This son," telling our father, "this son of yours." He does not recognize that we are back. The Jews do not recognize that the Gentiles are back. Those who of us got born again before those who are getting born again now don't appreciate those who are coming to the Lord. Believers who have been in Jesus for a longer time do not appreciate those who are converting, even from cultures who didn't know God, those who are converting from Islam, for example, those who are converting from ATR are coming to Jesus. Those who are converting from secularism, they are coming back to Jesus. And sometimes we make it very hard for them to feel accepted because of our behavior. So we are in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. And we want to focus, especially from verses 12 to verses 27. And here we want to focus on understanding how the Holy Spirit brought victory over the guilt concerns within us and by helping us to experience the supernatural blessings, which are kept in the heavenly places where Christ is seated. You see, the Holy Spirit help us to connect to the spiritual blessings. We know that you have been blessed. These spiritual blessings are blessings like we have been adopted of, by the Father. We have been justified by the Father through Jesus Christ. We have been sanctified. We have been made clean. We have been made to belong to the family of God. These are spiritual blessings. We have been given the ability to come back. Now, all these, we are made to partake of them, though they are so close to us. It is part of the commonwealth, as Paul calls it. So the Holy Spirit is the one who help us to connect and access, to have an access to that, to be connected to the source, because they all come from the heavenly places where Christ is seated. In this session, we will compare life dominated with sinful nature and one controlled by the Holy Spirit, the governor of our lives now that we are back. We'll also be able to understand that though we are there, we are seated in heavenly places, but there are about three types of groaning that happens here on earth. Let's try and see what the Spirit of God says. Look at this. The scripture, as in the book of Romans 8 and verses 12, says, now that the Holy Spirit lives in us, now that the Spirit of Jesus Christ, Holy Selected Christ, is already in our lives, is already the one operating in us, then for that reason, verse 12 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have no obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. We are not supposed to live to the flesh again. We are not supposed to live to the life that we lived before when we were, you know, eating the pig's food, when we are serving the world, when we are being dominated by the worldly species, by the love of the world, the world, you know, the love or the lust of flesh and the lust of eyes and the pride of life. That's the world. That's where we were in the pigs. We have no obligation now that we are home to go back there or to live as though we are there. For if you live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit you'll put to death the misdeed of body, you will live. Now, we have no obligation. We have no right to go back and live like that though we are at home. Because if you do that, he says, we'll die. But if we live by the Spirit, we'll put to death all those misdeeds of the flesh. There are so many that comes upon us, that makes us feel that we're not accepted. We can only put them to death when we have the Spirit of God. Now, then he talks about some great benefits of the Holy Spirit living in us. And he says, verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. This is so powerful that everybody who is led by the Spirit of God, everybody who is have the Spirit of God in them, they are children of God. No person would claim to be a child of God unless they have the Spirit of God in them. And let me say this, everybody who is born again, you know you are born again. Let nobody tell you that you don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit might not be upon you, because that one, he comes for the purpose and for the service. Once you give yourself and you say, I'm ready to be used of God. But whether you want to be used of God or not, the Spirit of God lives in you. He is in us. Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit to the disciples after his death. And so the Spirit of God is in us. And that tells us as a benefit that we are children of God. Number two, the Spirit who we received does not make us slaves again. It does not enslave us as the one we were eating the pigs and feeding the rich out there on the world. The Spirit we received, or the Holy Spirit we received, does not make us slaves again, so that we live in fear again. No fear for those who are in Jesus Christ and they have the Holy Spirit. Rather, the Spirit we received blot about our adoption as sonship. So the Spirit we received is the one that helped us, number three, that to know that we are adopted as sons. You know, we are adopted children. Let me say this. And this gives everybody who pick a child and bring them up and they call him daddy. I know some people says, there are some people who ask very nasty question. When you talk about Jesus is the Son of God and they ask, does God have a woman to give birth? Let me tell you, we do not need a wife to give birth. When you adopt a child, you do not adopt a child by sleeping with a woman to get that child. Being called a father does not necessarily mean that it only comes when you have been born by by a man and a woman in that person, but we can be adopted. The Bible says the Spirit of God has brought about our adoption as sonship. And by this we cry, Abba, Father. So today we have been able to cry, Abba, Father, because of the Spirit of God who dwells in us. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testify with our spirits that we're children of God. That is the most important thing. As we live in this world, whether we are accepted by our firstborn brother, whether we feel like we are not, the Spirit himself testify that we're children of God. If we feel like, if we don't feel like, that's not the issue. We believe because he is in us, the Holy Spirit. We are children of God. And he testified to our spirit. He tells our spirit. The Spirit of God tells us, you are God's children. What a good thing to be reminded that we're children of God. And now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and heirs with Christ. Number five is that when the Spirit of God who testifies that we are children of God, he also let us know that then we are heirs. We can get inheritance from God. Not only that, we can inherit together with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ has been promised, it's us. It's also ours. And what a joy to have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you. You are our governor. We want to welcome you into our lives forever. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. So even if we share in our suffering, we also share in his glory. And therefore, Paul talks about three things or three types of groaning because of the suffering we also share. As we wait for the glorification, as we wait for the second coming of Jesus, Paul, in verses 18 to 27, he talks about three types of groaning, three types of getting pain. And you know, to groan is to have painful seizures, is to have moment that you are going through difficulties. Now, number one of the first groaning we receive is what we know that is called the creation. The whole of the creation today, as we wait for the second coming of Jesus, is going through groaning. Why is it groaning? Because it was subjected to frustration. Look at verse 20. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. It is groaning because it was subjected to futility, to frustration. When we sinned, when Adam sinned, the glory of creation was taken or moved away. These are the effects of what Adam did. But creation has been groaning all this time, looking forward, expecting that one day it will be liberated. It will get into the freedom. It will get into the glory of the children of God. So this groaning is for a time, but the creation is suffering. It waits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. So you see, our revelation, our coming and full glorification one day, it will not be all only for us. It will be even for all the creation. So the creation is groaning. Number two, we are told that verse 22, we know that the whole world has been groaning as in pains of child labor, right up to the present times. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as to sonship, the redemption of our body. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is not seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he has already have, but if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. So we also going through groaning. We are suffering. Yes, we're children of God. We don't need to go back to feel of this frustration of guilt because of the suffering. But he says, not only the creation that suffers, we also groan inwardly. Why? We are waiting for our bodies to be delivered. We are waiting for our bodies, our mortal bodies, to be glorified. Our spirit is are delivered. Our souls are getting delivered now and again. It's a good work the Lord is doing. But one day, our bodies shall be delivered. Not only so, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercede for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts know the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercede for God's people in accordance to God's will. Now, the Spirit of God, number three, also groan. He groan with words. With words cannot be uttered. And he groans as he intercedes for us. What you cannot be able to pray for as we serve ourselves, the Spirit of God is able to pray for us. Not only with words, with groaning. You know, groaning is more than words. And therefore, we want to know that as we wait for the second coming of Jesus, we don't need to go back to guilt. The Holy Spirit will help us. We might groan. The Christian groans. The Holy Spirit is groaning on our behalf. And we will definitely be glorified when our bodies are changed to be like his. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the Spirit of God to be in us. We believe in you. We trust you. Help us to look up to the Holy Spirit. We welcome you as our governor in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.